The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
It looks like we're no closer to a Brexit endgame. 17 days to go, and UK Prime Minister Theresa May suffered a fresh defeat on her divorce deal overnight. MPs ignored the Prime Minister's pleas to get the deal done and voted the deal down for a second time. In fact, opposition parties, Labour and the Democratic Unionist Party, said that they were not convinced by the last-minute assurances that were won from Brussels on Monday. Plus, the 75 of Theresa May's Conservatives also voted against her deal. And the big deal breaker for many was that Attorney General Jeffrey Cox's legal advice saying that the legal risks of the backstop remains unchanged. So now that the deal has been rejected twice, here's what's going to happen. MPs will again vote later tonight on whether they want to leave the EU with no deal. If that's rejected, then MPs will vote again on Thursday on whether they want to extend Article 50. So let's try and make sense of all this and break the details down. Joining me in the studio is James Crabtree, Associate Professor at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy. Now, James is also a Senior Policy Advisor in the UK Prime Minister's Strategy Unit under Labour Prime Ministers Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. James, good morning. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
The hashtag Brexit vote is trending on Twitter, and I just come across this tweet by someone named Jennifer, obviously out of the UK. She tweets this, "Hey, I just met you and our country is crazy. The EU has our number. Let's forget about Brexit, maybe."
Very nice.
Oh, gosh. It seems that new legal language is not enough. But let's go back to yesterday. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker said that these legal changes are a second chance and there will be no third chance. This is what he had to say.
In politics, sometimes you get a second chance. It is what we do with the second chance that counts, because there will be no third chance. There will be no further interpretation of the interpretations and no further assurances on the reassurances if the meaning vote fails tomorrow. Let us be crystal clear about the choice. It is this deal or Brexit might not happen at all.
So that's European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker speaking there. This was yesterday, just 24 hours before the UK and EU deadlock over coming to a deal. James, in your opinion, do you think that Juncker's statement that there's no third chance, should we take that at face value? Do you think MPs still feel that there's a chance that they could get a better deal?
I don't think so, no. I mean, I think yesterday's vote, it must feel to your listeners like we've been here before. We've been round these houses a number of times, but this is now really getting to a crunch point. Mrs. May's deal is not quite entirely dead. It's very, very nearly dead. She's going to try one more time or maybe two more times to scare the hardcore Brexiters into voting for it. But I think we're now very close to the point where the whole thing breaks open, where Mrs. May's deal is declared dead. And then it's very unclear what is going to happen. But I think what is clear is that the European side aren't going to give any more concessions on Mrs. May's deal.
And right now it's all about this insurance policy, aka this Irish backstop. James, why does it keep getting rejected?
Why does the backstop keep getting... I mean, it keeps getting rejected because there aren't enough people, there aren't enough votes in the House of Commons to get this thing through. Mrs. May needs to convince. She has a slender majority and she has some people within her own coalition who are very hard to convince. And so she can't get what they want, which is a magical concession on this Irish issue, which is enough to bring both the Irish Unionist Party, the DUP, and the Brexiters over to her side. And so what happens if her deal dies? Then it's perfectly possible that any one of three or four options has to begin to happen. She might be turfed out. There might have to be an election. Yeah. And eventually people will begin to think that we need to have a second referendum.
You talked about there might be an election. There have been calls for a resignation of Theresa May. James, do you think that she's still the person to continue these negotiations? Is she still the best person?
No, I think it's becoming more difficult to see her continuing. Now, there's a problem here, which is in order to have the time to get rid of her, have a replacement leader, you need quite a long extension. So you said in your introduction that we're going to have two votes in the next couple of days, one of which is going to rule out a no-deal Brexit and the second of which is going to ask for an extension. It remains unclear whether you have a short extension or a long one, but it looks increasingly like you're going to have a long one because it doesn't seem like the UK can do anything that it needs to do in the period available. The problem Mrs. May faces is that the only other option that doesn't involve an election or a referendum is a softer form of Brexit. And it's quite hard to imagine her being the leader who can negotiate that because she has shown so little imagination in her current negotiations. So I would have thought that the odds are that if that is where the crumbs begin to fall, as it were, that you need another leader and potentially an election in order to get a different majority in the House of Commons.
But she has survived no confidence votes. I believe it was once or twice late last year or early this year. Could it be a scenario where they just get her to deal with Brexit, get this over and done with, and then later they switch their Prime Minister, perhaps?
Well, I think according formally to the rules of the Conservative Party, she can't be deposed, at least not formally, because she already survived one vote and they can't have another one for a period of time. However, there's ways around that. I mean, in the end, if she realises she's lost the confidence of her party, then she may decide that now's that she tried her very best and now's the time to try and hand over to somebody else. But as I say, this becomes procedurally complex because you also have the issue of the European elections, which are coming into view, the European parliamentary elections. And so if you have a long extension, then the UK has to take part in those elections, and that's all rather difficult. So this is, as you will be aware from watching it, a huge mess.
Yes. And
one, when Mrs. May's deal finally dies, as I think it is likely to do towards the end of this week, that there's going to be an almighty fight over what comes next.
We're talking about the fallout of this morning's Brexit vote. James Crabtree, Associate Professor in Practice at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Political Science, in the studio with me. So, yes, no-deal Brexit vote will happen later tonight or early tomorrow morning. And if that's rejected, then there is the vote on extending Article 50. What happens after that? Is there a plan B for them? Because we are seeing a lot of reports that the EU doesn't want to negotiate anymore.
Well, I think plan A for Mrs. May is to give this one last final heave, which is to try and scare her opponents, the Brexit opponents, into finally voting for the deal, to realise that if they don't vote for this deal, then it's very hard to know what might happen. And certainly one of the possibilities is that you don't get any Brexit at all or you get a very long delay. I suspect that isn't going to work. I mean, she's tried this a couple of times. She's so far away. She lost the vote last night by 150. So she has to win an awful lot of people over in a very short period of time, and it seems unlikely. Then what happens, I suppose, is people begin to try and work out whether some kind of softer Brexit is possible. That on that scenario, what happens is you try and cobble together the moderate Conservatives and the Labour Party. There is, in theory, a majority in the House of Commons for some kind of softer Brexit, but it will require an act of political leadership to get there, and you have to split the Conservative Party in two. And that's what Mrs. May has said, that she has basically said politically she doesn't want to do that. She doesn't want to go for a solution which divides the Conservative Party in two. And that, again, may be why she decides that actually now she's given it her best efforts, but it's time to let somebody else take that difficult choice.
James, you mentioned earlier about European elections that are set to take place. Just to give background, European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker says that the UK was to extend Article 50 past May this year. Then the UK will be legally obliged to take part in European elections. My question is, how is this going to go down in the UK?
Not well, but in the end, the UK doesn't have very many good choices. And so ideally, they would like not to have to do that, but they can't come to a reasonable conclusion. And so in the end, I don't think they'd have much choice. It wouldn't look good. The elections themselves would, I suppose, become a kind of informal referendum on the Brexit process. It would be politically messy, but then the whole thing is going to be politically messy. As I say, I suspect the better option would be to have a longer extension rather than a shorter one, and then that at least would allow those involved to consider all of the possible options to find a new arrangement, as in you have the time to look for a softer Brexit. If that doesn't work, then you have the space either to have a general election or to agree to have a second referendum. And all of those things are possible if you have, you know, a couple of years of extension. But again, that's not going to be popular.
Yeah. Yeah. James Crabtree, Associate Professor at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy, in the studio with me. We've been opening our lines to our listeners for questions. Mr. Chow would like to ask you, the EU has made it clear that a viable plan or direction is needed before considering an extension. We talked about this a little bit earlier on. Will calling for a second referendum or even a general election be considered a viable reason to request for an extension from the EU?
Yes, both of those would be. I suppose the problem that we have, and I think Mr. Chow puts his finger on a very good point, is that the clock is ticking down, and it isn't clear in the first instance, given we only have 2 weeks to go before the deadline, what precisely the UK would even be able to ask for to get the extension. So in theory, if you said, we need an extension to have a general election, then that would be fine. I mean, Europeans, I think, are being quite conciliatory about this, and Mr. Juncker and Mrs. Merkel have said, you know, Britain should be given the time that it needs to. I think even after last night, the risk of a no-deal Brexit isn't very high, a crash-out Brexit. Nonetheless, the negotiations over what Britain is asking for in order to get an extension are still not clear, because there's no consensus over what Britain would ask for.
Several people were tweeting earlier, like I mentioned earlier, on hashtag Brexit vote was trending, and a lot of them saying that if MPs can go in and vote several times, why not the people? Why can't they decide again, be given a second chance to decide whether or not they want to leave the EU? More information is out now. It's been 2 years on. What's the likelihood of a second referendum?
I think it's still going up. I still don't think it's the most likely option. Okay. I saw an estimate by one of the UK's most eminent Brexit watchers saying he thought the odds were that probably Mrs. May's deal was nearly dead. There was a 40% chance of a soft Brexit and then 20% each for an election and a second referendum. The problem is that large parts of the Conservative Party don't want to have a second referendum because they fear that in the end, if you put a choice, let's say, between Mrs. May's deal and staying in, that people would decide to stay in. And so given that most Conservative MPs are in favor of Brexit in one form or another, even if they can't decide which one, then they're against a second referendum. They're also against an election because they think they might lose. And so in the end, Britain doesn't like any of the options that it's got in front of it, or at least there isn't a majority for any of these options. And that's why this is such a rolling mess.
Yeah. Looks like the drama will continue. And of course, we heard overnight Prime Minister Theresa May from the UK losing her voice already. That might be a reason to delay votes for another week or so. James Crabtree, Associate Professor at Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy, thank you so much for coming by the studio. He was also a Senior Policy Advisor in the UK Prime Minister's Strategy Unit under Labour Prime Ministers Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. James, thank you again for coming by.
Thanks so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at MoneyFM893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.